This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This week on Radio Free Cybertron, it's the episode 660. Is that what it is? I hate to say it, but like when I was typing it out to, like, for the live stream, I typed 6660, and I'm like, that's not right, but. You know, it's what I almost put in there. I'm Brian Kilby. We have Chris. There was Matt as well. Diecast, Don.
Hey, everybody.
Rob, and elusive.
Imagine doing 6,000 episodes of this.
No, I refuse. You cannot make. Also, John DeLuna's with us on video this week.
6,000 weeks. Hey. Would be, what, 100 years?
Over.
I don't want to do that math, but yeah, I was assuming we'd have to do this for another century to get there.
Dang. That's a lot. Okay.
I'll just like. Palpatine it and be
Darth
hooked
Mullet.
Up to machines and Palpatine be hooked up to machines in order to do the show, be like 150 years old.
Let's not. So hey, there's a lot of stuff going on. We should probably get the underway because we got a lot of stuff to get through this week. Funny enough, and it's not even Toy Fair week yet. So it's kind of, yeah, it is kind of awesome that there's lots of stuff to talk about. Okay. So Toy Fair, we mentioned that the live stream is going to be on Saturday, February 22nd. It's going to be a lot of fun. Live stream will start around 12 Eastern, like usual. It's our favorite, it's our biggest event of the year. It's what we do. It's what we love to do. It's the biggest, hardest, most painful, most enjoyable, most wonderful day. For us, it's like Christmas and New Year's and the 4th of July all rolled into one.
And if anything, like last year, our fingers will hurt with all the pre-orders that we will do.
Yeah. And
I mean, we more had that with SDCC, I think.
It started with Toy Fair and it continued with SDCC. So I'm not expecting.
SDCC was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I'm expecting similar.
I mean, you know, to refresh our viewers' memories, that was the week we spent literally an hour before actually starting the show because we all had to pre-order all the things that went live right after the presentation.
I wasn't that was on that episode.
I was hosting. That's why it went completely bonkers.
Yeah. The night of 1,000 pre-orders.
That's what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this year will be the re-return of the night of 1,000 pre-orders.
I hope not.
Well, no, it won't be the re-return. It'll just be the return. SDCC this year will probably be the re-return of the Night of 1,000 pre-orders.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so, so Diecast will be there. We're going to try. I have to test it between now and then, but we're going to try. The last half hour or hour, we'll figure it out. We'll probably try to take live calls on the live stream. Yes. And, just to get everyone's feelings on the show. So we're on the
I guess we'll be losing Matt in the last hour of the Toy Fair stream.
We'll see how it goes. So we'll see how that goes. Patreon. Patreon.com/TF Radio. You should sign up. It's pretty great. We have landed. The patrons at the touch tier have voted on which card design will be the first card that we select for our physical rewards, and the design that has been selected is the 1987 Tops card design.
Oh yeah, I think that's the one I like.
Oh,
the
wood
anyway.
Green.
The wood green.
Yeah.
Oh my, you know my favorite is the 1963 Tops one that I put out there, and nobody voted for it.
Oh, can you put that one up on the video?
Yeah.
For people who might not have reference for that.
Yeah, I'll pull like that one up too. My favorite is take me a second, Patreon, my internet.
Yeah, basically just can you put that up there for me because I don't remember what it looks like.
Yeah, one sec. right here. 1963 Tops.
Yeah, I definitely like the wood grain one better.
Oh man, I don't know. I like this
Sorry.
One.
Sorry.
I like that one.
I like that one. It's got diecast. Yeah.
It's not bad. I just think the wood grain one's a little bit more striking.
Not a single. This is like that. This is like considered like the most iconic card design that Topps ever did. But you know, it's not my favorite.
But you see, the problem is I don't collect baseball cards.
Yes. Like this one of the, but like the 87 Tops is the most memorable from the 80s, probably. It was, it's my favorite from the 80s. So, you know, that's what I'm sending to the printers.
Yep. Well, so you know, Brian,
the candidate designs for mine. You remember in the like early 90s, there was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle with trading shell. Cards with. Yeah. So I like, let's make that one of the candidates for when we get around to mine.
Okay.
You know, Brian, if you ever, if you do a series two, toss in maybe like the G.I. Joe trading card format.
Maybe. At the very least for mine, I'm going to reuse one of these. I'm going to probably use the 63 Tops because I want to. So I'm only doing the voting on this one. Then we'll figure out the rest along the way.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm going to send that off to the printer probably this weekend. And hopefully we'll have those back in a couple weeks and I'll get them shipped out. Also with the postcards that I need to send out. Still need to send those out. But they'll go out soon. After I'm, you don't want me to do that sick. I've been sick for a while. Once I'm better, non-communicable, I'll start writing all that stuff out and send it here in the next week or two.
But some genuine Brian Kilby illness with every postcard makes them extra collectible.
I think that's why all my Taobao packages are held up. They're currently being
irradiated.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you think I'm joking, but that's been done in the past to try to deal with that sort of thing.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
So let's just jump to Toy Fair speculation.
Hmm.
Okay. So who wants to go first? What do you expect to see? Chris?
So one thing I don't think has really come up in conversation until or before now, like... At these events, we almost always get a what they call a see now, buy now thing, which for the last year has been Generation Selects. So we're probably going to get one or two new exclusives that I don't think we have any hint what they might be so far. Like, I don't think there's been any leaks toward that end yet, but there's almost certainly going to be something because for SDCC, that's when we got Galactic Man, Shockwave, and Lancer. Can't think what was at Toy Fair last year.
Toy Fair last year was the Megatron. The
because that launched Megatron. Coinciding with Hasbro Pulse. And at New York Comic Con, that was Hotshot and Nightbird.
Yeah,
I think.
Yes,
pretty sure. That sounds right.
We are they making Runamuck or Runabout in a wave of Earthrise?
We don't. Exactly. No. The fan vote was Runamuck, but we don't know like at what point that's then coming. Like that mold's probably in the end of line.
Then Runabout will probably be a selects.
Maybe in like October.
Yeah. Not too early
for it now. It'd have to be like some siege thing recolored at this point. Still, maybe we'll get the Purple Seeker. Like that's the only thing we're missing, kind of off the siege mold. Let's
no
go
more
for
that
eight
Seeker
before
mold.
It gets. Yeah, let's go for eight before it gets retired.
No, I'm hoping they jump straight into the Earthrise Seeker mold and let's get a select of that. Let's start it off.
Well, there's another direction this could go, which I was reminded of this recently. John Warden said in an interview with Transmissions, I think, that there would not be a Bumblebee toy in the War for Cybertron toy line. Which seems like a really specific thing to say, because, like, Selects is not technically the War for Cybertron toy line, and we've got that box art with Earthrise showing a Bumblebee and a Spike. So, like, that could be an early Selects candidate, too. Like, the mold, the Cliffjumper mold's already in production. They could have run some Bumblebees alongside, too. You know, that... The timing would be tight, but it could work.
I like that. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends whether they've had enough, off time with the molds that are available right now to be able to run production on an Earthrise exclusive, or if we're still going to get like one last tail end siege mold generation selects. But I mean, other than that, I don't think there's probably going to be too much unexpected at Toy Fair. I'm hoping we would see probably like Cyverse Deluxe Wave 2, because apart from one of those that just got seen for the first time today, we don't have any visuals for the Wave 2 molds, and there's like a brand new character in there too, which I'm certainly interested in seeing. And then, of course, what I really hope for is to see Earthrise Conehead to, you know, to justify the obvious reason for this new Seeker Mold's actual existence other than to be Starscream.
Right. Right.
Cool. John, I'll jump to you.
Oh, man. I will say we'll see Galvatron.
Oh, I love
it. We haven't had a hint of that other than him being slipped into the box art, right?
Yeah.
So I think we'll, I'll throw a bone out there and I'll say we'll get an early look at Earthrise Galvatron. Almost definitely we're going to get Earthrise Galvatron, I feel. But maybe we'll get an early peek at him.
Cool. Diecast.
I mean, it was a leak, but it's something I'm really excited for, and I hope I see it, is the Voyager Quintesson, because that would be really cool. I got the Cyberverse one, and it really makes me want a generation set, because this is not
just not quite right.
Yeah, it's not quite right. I thought it might be a little bit better than it is, so... But yeah, that Quintesson, if they're, like Chris said, and I agree with him, you know, some sort of generation selects. Obviously, we're going to see, you know, maybe the leaks that we saw, like the Titan Class, Scorponok. We'll see that. And,
We'll
definitely see that.
Yeah. And we'll see Skylynx.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Cool. Matt, you had one?
Earthrise Soundwave.
Ooh.
Yeah, I wish I could say that I didn't think it was gonna happen, but
they're redoing Optimus Prime and Megatron and Starscream all from the last line. I think they're gonna do Soundwave too.
Okay. Cool.
Because of course.
Yeah, why not?
maybe I'll like this one better.
Rob.
I got nothing.
Okay. Don.
I think we're going to see the Takara Raiden at the show.
Could.
And they're going to announce that, and that it'll be announced that it will be carried on Hasbro Pulse as a US exclusive.
And we'll only have to wait like 6 months after Japan gets it before we can have it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be an exclusive technically, but it would be available,
or at least available anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so they Hasbro was certainly trying to make the C-Cons exclusive on Pulse.
Oh, good point. Like, good point. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. Hopefully they learned their lesson, because that didn't really turn out in any respect, because there's a ton of US-based sites that are still carrying it anyway, and there's been the delivery delays, and it's a mess. Let's not have that happen again.
Right. But I think, you know, with this design team... going with these deep cuts, and Raiden being a pretty deep cut for a lot of G1 people, I think they would want to make sure it's available to the fans in the US that follow all the series, you know, from, you know, as they, you know, from the past.
Hopefully. Although I feel like I'd be more likely to order Raiden from like Amazon Japan.
Hey, John, pipe in before I...
I just thought of this. So, and I don't know why he's so forgettable in certain ways, is Unicron is a thing that's still happening. But
you know why you're forgetting him? You've already paid for him.
Yeah, but I'll relive that when he shows up at my door.
I'll feel it again.
But so he'll probably be there, I would guess. I don't know. But I mean, I feel like just because people have paid for him doesn't mean you have to stop making us feel good about it. So it would be nice to have him show up, but if he does show up, it'll be interesting to see if he has any noticeable changes or updates to him.
I don't know if he'll be at Toy Fair, because he's only available directly through Hasbro.
They've had stuff. They've shown off stuff before that was, haven't they? That was like,
did the Sailbird show up at Toy Fair?
I'm going to say one, it's too early for him, and two,
no, not complete. Unicron, just a prototype.
Unicron never shows up where I am. So that's,
you know, that's true.
Okay. I mean, it's possible. I had the same thought.
Just on the basis of what Diecast said, I want the C-Cons to be at Toy Fair for no reason other than to just be on display instead of Unicron.
To mock him.
Nice.
To mock him.
Be like, angry fan knocks over C-Cons at Hasbro event.
Banned from Toy Fair for life.
Yep. Please don't be the next representative that gets kicked out of Toy Fair. That's not a badge you want to wear.
I won't. I don't know, I'll restrain myself, but if they have a full C-Con there, I'll have to like look the other way.
Okay. I kind of miss the old days of Toy Fair where people could just like sneak in and incompetently destroy display pieces. And
yeah,
it was a wild time.
It
man.
Was. Okay.
Hey,
so
real quick though, one reason you would put Unicron in your booth is to show the buyers that you're like healthy and experimental.
Oh, yeah.
And you do fun things, and so it's just a prop.
And
they do have those non-transforming painted prototypes floating around that they could probably, drive down from Rhode Island for an afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, this is for retailers, first and foremost, and you want to show that you're viable.
Although I don't think Saturday's actually for retailers.
Well, I mean, but the weekend.
Yeah, the rest of it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to pull a Don, and I'm going for wild, rampant speculation that out of the air, that's hopeful. I'm pulling it on here. So I think they're going to copy Mattel in one respect. Mattel has been doing these weird crossover figures with the WWE, taking their taking their characters and and mixing them with the WWE license. I think they might do that again. They've done it in the past with Marvel and Star Wars. I think we might see something like that.
Is all that stuff on clearance?
I don't know. I think we might see, but we haven't seen it with Ghostbusters yet. And now that they have Ghostbusters, or now that G.I. Joe is coming back, we might see something. I mean, we're not, but I hope to see. I hope it.
I want G.I. Joe Ghostbusters crossover.
Yes, something. I want crossovers.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's going to happen because I'm putting less than a tenth of a percent on that. But that's my hope. I would love to see new crossovers. That would be great. Okay.
What if we get crossover figures for that Transformers My Little Pony comic they just announced?
I would buy those. I wouldn't hesitate.
I wonder if the Mock Kick mold is still viable.
Now what I saw.
Which half?
The question I saw on Twitter today or Facebook, I can't remember where, the question was, and it makes perfect sense. Since we have G1 Transformers, why isn't it G1 ponies?
Is that the fandom?
Well, the thing is, it's just Friendship is Magic. Basically, it was like the way you do a reboot before we got DuckTales. Kind of, it was like more personality, more character. So they're like the next incarnation of the G1 ponies. So it's also the one that's been in the forefront of so many people, so many collectors and kids' minds. So I mean, if you're trying to make sure that you've got a good personality when you're pairing up these, like RC and Rarity, you want to make sure you've got characters with personality. And the G1 ponies was like almost nothing from what I understand.
Well, we'll take your word for that, Don, since you are the local expert on that.
I'm not. I'm just reiterating some things I've heard in the past. But
among this group, you are the expert on My Little Pony.
This is true, and I have daughters, and Don is the expert. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to what we got this week. Who wants to go first?
If you had the daughters like 5 years ago, you would be an expert also.
Yeah, I honestly have never watched Frozen up until like a month ago. So to me, it seems like a brand new movie. It's just kind of funny. I just watching it again for the 50th time today. Like it said 2013. I'm like, this didn't come out in 2013. Sure did.
I'll go.
Okay, go ahead, Diecast. I hate you, by the way, Diecast.
Yeah, I got some Earthrise stuff. I got Ironworks, and I just got them today, so that's why they're not out of the package yet.
You got them like an hour and a half ago.
It's
basically
beautiful. I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
Where'd you find them?
Target.
Target. I got Wheeljack. And now, yesterday, I went with my wife to Target. We had to get some stuff, and I checked the inventory, and they had 9 on hand and 1 on the peg, not of an Earthrise, of a Hound. So I'm like, oh, they must have got a box. I asked someone and they wouldn't even go back to check because it didn't have a location. So I'm like, okay, I'll stop back tomorrow. When I went back today, it said 4 on hand and it actually said they were in the back. So I was like, oh, there's a half a box. So someone took, you know, all four, you know, and left the other four figures. Well, someone bought two cliff jumpers. So there was the Ironworks, the Wheeljack, and then I got two grapples.
That's because, hoist.
Or hoist, I'm sorry. Because, yeah, they were, someone apparently bought
two well, cliff maybe, jumpers and left maybe the someone hoist. Did with cliff jumper what you're doing with the hoist and you're, you know, hooking a friend up with the extra.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm only doing this because they didn't have the cliff jumper. You know,
and you just had to buy four. You couldn't possibly leave the store without buying all that they had.
Why would I leave with just what that seems weird, just leave one hoist on the shelf?
Yes, it seems weird to leave a duplicate toy on the shelf instead of leaving with two of one toy just to be able to buy all that they have. That yes, that is what seems weird, Diecast. You're absolutely right.
So exactly. our pal in the chat, CatMax Gaming. Steven said that Unicron in basketball coloring at Toy Fair. Just want to say that's a great idea.
I finally got a Scareglow.
Where'd you get that?
eBay.
Oh, okay.
I had to resort too because I found all the other ones at Five Below.
How much did you pay for that on eBay?
$12.99.
You might have been able to get that cheaper on Amazon, actually.
Really?
No.
Not the last I checked.
No.
Yeah. I got what Chris got because I like the colors of it. I got the
Skyfire armor.
Skyfire armor. Yeah. And I went back and forth. And then after a couple of days, I was like, you know what? It does kind of look good. I'll just get it. The presentation in the packaging does not look very good. I can say that. But like the picture on the card and even the picture on the card on the back make it look really good. So I think there's a definite problem with the packaging with these guys. Like I think they need to rethink the packaging.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, like it's supposed to be selling the minifigure and then showing the other stuff as being like an extended accessory loadout. So like I can kind of see the choice they made with that, but yeah, I mean they probably could have packaged that in a little bit better way.
Because look at all the parts down there at the bottom that they're not actually showing off. I think that's the problem with it.
Hey Diecast, you get that for $12.99 shipped?
Yeah.
Scareglow?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. If you at tfradio.net/Amazon, Scareglow is currently $14.95. Which I just bought one.
And then I got something that I think Brian and Don will appreciate. I got a seal, or I thought it was sealed. There actually isn't any tape on the bottom. It looks like the tape was there, but it's actually not there anymore.
Yeah, it just kind of probably fell off because it dried out.
Yeah.
It's the Robo Gun. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice.
I'm jealous. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did it come with caps?
I don't see any in the box.
You can still buy those, amazingly, at like gas stations.
Really?
Yeah.
You probably buy them on Amazon. So
Amazon.
But yeah, I mean, I had one. I think I had the rifle growing up as a kid.
I
was a little kid. And of course, it was probably really a hand-me-down because I think the rifle was like half broken.
The caps are made by Jaru. Those are the people that sell the toys that you buy at gas stations. So that makes sense.
And then my friend Rob dropped me off some stuff. He dropped me off the Sharktacon, what is this one? The Cyberverse one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm excited. I never saw these in the store, and he happened to find one for me, so I'm thankful to him.
I see those all the time, and it's really painful to not buy them.
Yeah, I'm seeing here. They're so common that I just don't.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in a while, but like when they first came out, they were pretty plentiful around here.
I got the Earthrise
Military Hot Rod Patrol
Masters. Yeah, this is the one that Chris was saying has the fake wheels.
Yeah,
the fake wheels.
I'll talk about that in a minute.
And then last thing, I also got the Rodimus with the three dolls.
You got the Sharktacon set that comes with a hot rod.
Yes. I just noticed that has a J-hook on it to go on a peg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not very big.
No, it would absolutely fit on one. It's just they're always at every Target I've seen them at or sitting on a shelf.
Yeah, because it's easier. It's easier to find space for them on a shelf than to set up an extra peg hook and ruin all the other arrangement around them.
Yep. So that's all I got this week.
Can I go next?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I am.
But Matt,
because I'm continuing diecast theme.
Okay.
So I also got tiny little shark.
Ah, perfect. What, is that two sets?
Yeah, I got two sets, which sadly also means I've got two of the piece of crap hot rod toy that I don't know what I'm going to do with, but it's worth it. It's worth it for the school of Sharktacons.
Find a kid on the street. Say, hey, kid, you want a hot rod?
That's Rodimus Unicronus.
Kid. Oh, yeah.
Black, it's Rodimus Unicronus.
Does it have a mustache?
No.
No.
No, that's all I got. That was all I required.
Okay.
I can't wait to call him
Hot Rod, though, so I guess Matt is correct. He's listed as Stealth Force Hot Rod, but I would rather think of him as a Rodimus Unicronus.
But he's not in the evil colors. He's just black. He's still got the yellow and the orange. Got the I got the Earthrise Micromasters also. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of the War for Cybertron series Micromaster molds in general. Like, they're about the most possible G1 with knees thing that could exist, because they literally just are G1 with knees for all intents and purposes. But these do feel better than the Siege ones in a lot of respects. I've only had a leg pop off once on these during transformation, where every other Siege Micromaster I had, the legs always come off during transformation, no matter how careful I am. Transformations are pretty smooth. The robot modes, especially for the Hot Rod Patrol, the arms are kind of a problem to get posed, because like, they've got the whole door and fender as one solid chunk, and there's not, the arms don't pull out to make more room, so you got to really like maneuver them around the rest of the body. I mean, like, the biggest triumph here is just like the joint tolerances all feel a lot better. The alt modes don't necessarily all tab together super tight. Like, there's some serious panel gaps on the, what is this one, the white car? I'm bad with Micromasters. What is it?
It's Trip Up.
Okay, so Trip Up has like some pretty big panel gaps here, because the parts just will not fit together more tightly than that. Now, on the plus side, Trip Up
is the only one that the leg actually falls off of. That would be appropriate.
The tank actually fell off of mine.
I think it was Trip Up.
It's a feature. It's a feature.
Which I'm glad to hear the tolerances are better, though, because I can deal with G1 with knees as long as it's not G1 with knees somewhere on the floor.
I like that. Big Daddy, though, or Daddy-O, as he is now for trademark purposes, is pretty nice. It's definitely better than Trip Up overall. The car mode fits together a little bit more tightly, and the robot parts move around a little bit more freely as well. For the military patrol, so I got, this is Bombshock, and I made the most interesting discovery here. So, you know, it's a treaded vehicle, and most Transformers treaded vehicles have little fake wheels underneath to let them roll. Now, this doesn't have that, but they did actually sculpt in part of the shoulders. Like, the shoulders are sculpted as big discs, and in vehicle mode, they stick down below the tread line like they are fake wheels, but they don't roll. So it has fake wheels.
What the hell?
Yeah, just take a moment and consider what happened here. And then there's Growl, which is probably the worst one out of the whole group of four here. I can't get the robot mode to stand up because the back of the legs, the backside of the feet curve up, and it's pretty back heavy, so it just kind of rolls itself onto its back like a sad turtle. The only real bright side to it is it has a removable cannon, which can peg onto the arms in robot mode. So you could probably, you know, use that to try to counterbalance it a little bit. But, you know, otherwise, like, you can have an arm cannon, or since it's a 5mm peg, you can give this to a bigger toy as a pretty decent looking pistol, I guess. So, like, since I've had so much experience with the Siege Micromasters, it's not like I'm disappointed in any of these. And they are a little better than I was expecting, but not enough. So we'll see how things go with me getting future Earthrise Micromasters. But if I didn't know that there was a lot better coming along, this would not be a great initial showing for Earthrise, I don't think. Okay, so quickly, also following up on Diecast a little bit here. So last week I was talking about the third of those Halo Mega Constructs exosuits. So this is the Breacher suit, or Yeah, I think it's the Breaching Suit. It's the one that has the shield and the hammer thing. I was talking last week about how the prototype Mark I exosuit was not that great overall. This one is better, more on par with the Skyfire one, but having built all three now, I definitely think the Skyfire one is the best of the set. This one's not too far behind in second, but there's definitely like a hierarchy to them. Personal victory here. I got Power Rangers Beast Morphers Steel Robot Ranger or Beat J Stag. I got this off of Amazon. I paid more than retail for it, but not as much more than retail as it normally was going for. It was 20 ship when I was able to get one. So I'm fine with that since I never saw one in person anywhere. Of course, then Rob Springer mentioned on Twitter afterward that he had found that at least once at Ross for $5. That was kind of sad. So I believe I teased last week, though, that I was buying something really stupid that I would have this week to show off.
Yes.
Yes. It's stupid in one sense because of how much it costs, but at the same time, it's something awesome. I got the extra large size Eagle Moss Defiant.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah, so it's about 7 inches or so long. Very much better detailed than the normal Defiant. The nose also is not attached crooked, which I was very thankful for. Normally, this retails for about $75. I did not pay $75 for this. I was able to find it on Amazon for about $43, $44, and I had a $10 gift card from our friend Barricade, so I paid very much, very close to half of retail for this brand new. I'm quite satisfied.
That's a real good deal. A real good deal.
I'm hoping I will find a deal like that on the extra large runabout at some point too, because like the small runabout is pretty nice, but I would, as much sharper as the details are on the extra large Defiant, I would love to have a runabout with that same level of clean, intricate detailing on it.
Cool. Anything else?
No, I think that's it for this week, but you next know, week's everybody crazy. Should strap in because I'm going to have a hell of a lot of stuff to talk about next week.
Good. So Don, get your video ready. Rob, did you get anything?
All right.
While Don prepares his video, and your audio sounds horrible again, Don, can you move the mic?
Of course. I only thing I got was the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars role playing game beginner set for The Force Awakens, just because I wanted something to read. Just something about basic sets like that. I got the D&D basic set for Christmas when I was like 8 or 9, and just, I always liked box sets like that. So I got that to read. It's interesting so far. And that's pretty much in terms of any kind of, you know, frivolities, pretty much anything I've got in the last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, you're having a bit of a time again, so that's understandable.
Cool. Perpetually, apparently.
I'm sorry.
Could be worse.
Okay, Don.
I'm sorry you have to live in interesting times.
Oh, Chinese
seriously.
Curse.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I have nothing authorized because nothing has shown up in my area. And I've been checking Target the last 5 days off and on, and they've had nothing. Don. No problem. No problem. I'm going to keep checking because, I mean, it's got to come in sometime. But, no, I found a really good deal at ages 3 and up on a figure I was on the fence on for quite some time. But it's a figure that's very me, and I know none of y'all have it. None of y'all would get it. And it was about 60 less than most other places in the U.S. were selling it. Ages 3 and up had it. You know, I didn't quite qualify for free shipping, but I got the reduced shipping. It was here in 3 days. And it's the Banana Force Optimus Prime from Robots in Disguise.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I'm glad you were able to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, literally, you know, a lot of the other stores were about $229 to $249. Robot Kingdom was $189 with about 30 shipping, 30 to that's their slow e-commerce shipping. Yeah. I got this for about really 70 less over less than the retail that all the places in the U.S. had them listed for. I mean, $249 was the most common price I saw, and I got them for significantly less than that. I've watched several reviews. I'm looking forward to getting him open. Again, it's a very stylized take on RID Prime. But we don't get much RID Prime stuff, and I'm hoping that I can get a good deal on the Ultra Magnus as well to get their, Because I think this will look really good with the Make Toys Cross Dimension stuff. I think there's some similar characteristics there and that sort of that stylized anime design that they do. So I'm really looking forward to getting him, you know, out of the box and diving into him to sort of see what's up. So, you know, that's what I got was a Banana Force Optimus Prime.
Cool.
Also, I had to cut eBay because it kept dropping and I couldn't reconnect without going through a lot of hassle. So people in the chat, I apologize, but I just had to cut eBay off because it just wouldn't reload for me.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Don.
Sorry.
So can you get some extra?
YouTube. I said YouTube, not. I meant
no.
I
mean, what does eBay have to do with anything?
It doesn't.
YouTube.
I meant YouTube. I just was thinking about something else.
So okay.
Yeah, I just got messed up. I meant YouTube because the chat and everything. So I just had to drop YouTube because it just kept disconnecting. So I apologize to anybody in the chat who I can't respond to.
Okay.
Turn your video off, Don.
I was going to make a joke about canceling my subscription to Redbook, but I don't even know if they make that magazine anymore. That seems like a Don thing to do. Cancel my Redbook subscription. Okay. Actually, that's more of a... who's that? Who's that voice? It's not a Rob Springer voice.
No.
I don't know. That's like my generic voice. Okay, so John, did you get anything?
Yeah, I got a ton of vintage Toy Fair catalogs. More so, I made a good connection with somebody who used to work in the industry in the 80s and 90s, and so I've been cutting deals with him, paying a fair price. But so my collection has expanded. Aggressive expansion.
You need to like catalog that. No,
I do need to catalog it. I need to get an intern is what I need. So somebody can digitize this stuff. That is interning to become a librarian. Maybe I'm not paying these people. Librarians like anyway. Okay. So one thing that I forgot about because I'm not in the demo. I don't think any of us were. Is Maxi. So in the late 80s, Hasbro went hard against Barbie. And so for a couple of years, Maxi got the cover of the Toy Fair catalog. So the catalog that Hasbro has, it has everything in it.
That's not Barbie?
Transformer? Aha, no. It's Maxi.
It looks identical. It looks just like Barbie.
Yeah.
Watch your mouth.
I mean, as much as we can see it.
Watch your mouth.
That toilet.
It's inspired by Barbie. So anyway, so Maxi got the front cover and like the first 10 to 20 pages of the catalog a few years for Toy Fair. And everything else, G.I. Joe, Batman, Transformers, got to sit behind her as she made a run for Barbie's money. We know how that turned out. Let's see. The other thing that I noticed too in here was the Cops and Crooks line. That was a Hasbro line. I guess I didn't remember that as a Hasbro line, but it was one of the greatest animated openings in history. But the Cops and Crooks line was Hasbro, and it was many, many times bigger than I remember. But it looks really cool, and it's a heck of a lot cheaper to buy a catalog versus collecting the entire Cops line, let me tell you, if you want to look at Hasbro. If you want to look at eBay rates these days. Oh, and then one last thing, too. I got to tell you, when you look at product like in catalog form, right, everything looks like $1 million, and late 80s Transformers lines look awesome. It looks so good. Like,
they had MicroMaster bases on there. Oh,
Power Master Prime, Countdown, the cassettes are in here. Late 80s, Pretenders are in here. If you didn't know better, late 80s Transformers is on fire. You have to put in an order right here, right now for your toy store. It's never been hotter. It's 1989. You got to jump on this Transformers train. You never know when it's going to end. So anyway, I got five or six of these catalogs. They're tremendous. And yes, someday when I find incredibly cheap labor, I will digitize these. I promise.
That is awesome. That's your niche. Like everybody wants a niche.
I love it. I also got one last thing is, I got a invitation. So like before Toy Fair, obviously they would send invitations to toy store owners. So I got one of those. And it's just a little postcard that's just inviting you to Toy Fair, like 1988 or something like that. It's fun. And then I'll go through it at a later date, or maybe when I digitize stuff. But I did get another order form and price list. And this one was for Tyco during the years when they had Dino Riders, among other things. Oh, wow. So you can see
one of my favorite lines.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you can see the price breakout if you want to put in a wholesale order for Dino Riders. I've got that information. And then even better, I've got the catalog when Dino Riders debuted. Awesome, amazing. And then I also have the Toy Fair catalog from like 2 or 3 years later, after Dino Riders disintegrated. And they repurposed all of the dinosaur molds for a museum collection, which they sold to museums. And it's in there. It's hilarious. It's just like 2 or 3 years later, it's all the naked Dino Rider dinosaurs just rebranded. It's awesome.
Wow. So,
Go ahead. Okay. I was going to say, remember Joe Lant a couple of years ago, Crazy Steve's panel with all the Toys R Us advertising that he reconstructed all on his own work. But like, John needs to digitize all these Toy Fair catalogs and stuff and take that material somewhere like that so other people can actually like get the full effect experience of it. Like, this would make an awesome presentation at an event like that.
I would love that.
So it's made to be a PowerPoint.
The Crazy Steve panel was so great, and he didn't have like enough people in the, like, there. I don't know if Cyberwolf is in the chat, but he was there. And a couple other folks, but there wasn't enough people. But the Dononomics panel, full. Well, almost full.
But it was great. No, Crazy Steve's panel was great.
It was great. I actually have one of his reconstructions on my wall.
I've got one of the transparencies, too. Yeah.
John, that could be your intern. I'm pretty sure he would come out to your house and just spend a week or two.
I don't know
where
he is now. Somebody I used to work with at my former company worked for Mattel or something years ago, and she and I were swapping toy stories, and she was telling me about the toy fair she used to attend. I should check and see if she has any swag or anything from that left over.
Yeah, you should. It's fine, for sure.
Yeah, cool. I guess that leaves me, so I'm going to try to run through mine quick. I got the MicroMasters that Chris also got. I ordered this, I think, during the show a few weeks ago.
Of course you did.
When Don was talking about eBay being down, Steven in the chat was saying, Brian's worried about eBay being down. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But I got Masterpiece Corden, which I've been wanting forever. And
excellent choice.
I don't know what crack Don is smoking, but like, the transformation on this in Sun Surge, night and day. I don't even need instructions to transform this.
Yeah.
It's so easy. But Sunsurge, well,
okay, let's examine this from a different angle. Like, does it have a similar number of steps to transform it? Even though the steps make a lot more sense on the official toy than on the third party.
Maybe. But, maybe. That's a good point. So, I bought this. It was dramatically cheaper than I would have expected. I don't know that it's been knocked off. Like, it's hard to tell sometimes with the knockoffs if they're knocked off or not. But I look for all the details as to whether or not it was original or KO. I mean, this is something you can fake, but it's got the Ferrari or the Lamborghini, whatever it is. I don't know cars like I should.
The Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. It's got the Lamborghini hologram on it. And it's got, but it had all the little other things in it that made it match up. It has the little plastic that's within the seams of the toys to keep paint from scratching and all that. I couldn't find a KO version online, but this one, like, almost half of what I would have expected to pay for it normally. It came from Japan, and it took me about 3 weeks to get it, but it's great. It's beautiful. I'm glad I got it. I got the MicroMasters. I'm going to leave the worst toy that I've ever gotten before. Oh, yeah, I don't think I may have mentioned that pre-show. I have the worst toy that I've ever bought tonight to share with you. but it goes last. I got, this was in those Legends and, pardon me, the Prime or and the Unite, not Unite Warriors, the Legends stuff, whatever it was that popped up on Big Bad Toy Store. But this is the Nightmare Unicron. I'm leaving it in the box. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty toy. It's very black. It's got red highlights on the chest. It's all, I guess it's gray. But I have no desire to open it. It's small. It's way smaller than
it's a terrible toy. You don't want to open it.
Yeah, I don't want to open it. So, but it's pretty. So I got that. I didn't realize. I was talking to Flywheels on Twitter about this, and he mentioned that he had it. And I'm like, oh, I wonder how much it goes for. I've got Mystery of Convoy, or Convoy is, I think, the translation actually goes. I've got the card of that. But I never actually thought about getting the Headmaster's Famicom Disk System game because I assumed that it was ridiculously expensive. Well, it's not. I actually got the Famicom Disk game of the Headmasters. It's, see here, it's the disk has Nintendo written across the bottom. I guess it's in there. It's yellow. It's got the sleeve. It's, I don't know, I'm just, it's the only Famicom Disk System game I have. This is not a game console that I've been interested in. It's prone to breaking and everything, and it's easily emulated, but I was pleased to get that. I think I paid like $25 for it, which is less than I paid for the Mystery of Convoy cart like 20 years ago. I'm pretty sure I paid like $30 or $35 for that back in like 2000. But the worst game, or the worst toy that I have ever purchased, official toy, the worst by far. I have decided in the last 20 or 40 minutes that it's by far the worst toy that I've ever purchased. Transformers Go Optimus Prime. It's horrible. So people are prone to give Hasbro flack. And it used to be that people would praise Takara and talk crap about Hasbro. But for the most part, when Hasbro is not involved, at least in like setting the stage for what something should look like with like Beast Wars, Takara turns out crap. And this is hot garbage. It's,
if you think about it, Hasbro and Takara have a perfect partnership because like Takara's got all the engineering experience that they can basically make anything become anything else. While Hasbro seems to have all the like design horsepower behind them where they can make an idea look brilliant and then hand it off to somebody else to actually make a working thing out of.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like a really good Takara start to finish toy that I own that I've played with. I can't think of anything since like Car Robots.
Yeah. I was going to say Gigatron.
Yeah. I can't think of anything really specific that like start to finish that's been great since like then. Everything else.
Although, there's been a whole lot more co-development.
Oh, yes.
With Hasbro and Takara since then, so there's a lot less of a field for that to even exist in the first place. So that makes it more difficult.
But this is just horrific.
just looked up pictures, and it is just so.
It's bad.
Yeah, it turns into a train and the dragon, so you can imagine how well either of those turn out.
The train is okay, and it's a shell former. The plastic is so thin, I am always worried it's going to break. I mean, the joints are tight, but it's just so compromised, and it's just so ugly. And I had considered buying up Transformers Go because it's official, and it's a Transformers line that I have not dipped my toes into. I don't think I want to.
I think most of the other ones are regarded as being better toys.
I hope so.
Not great toys. But better than that.
I think I have another one, maybe. Somewhere, possibly. But, it's just bad. It's bad. So
what I want is the Transformers Go versions of the Predacons. Because they're almost all in different decos. They have different faces. More traditional Transformer faces. I think those are money, though, at this point.
There's some Transformer Go repaints, right? that are repaints of something else.
The Beast Hunters Predacons, yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have those. Yeah, but okay, that's horrible. It's horrible. Don't buy it. I got it on clearance, and it's not worth that. Bad toy. Okay, let's jump to the news. Okay, I'm just going to consolidate some of this. Yeah, Earthrise, it's hitting. We already knew it was hitting, but like it's reached the East Coast. Diecast found those deluxes. Voyagers have been spotted in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Have leaders been spotted?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're in the U.S., Earthrise is somewhere near you.
The only thing that's not on store shelves somewhere at this point is the Battlemasters assortment that has Sound Barrier and the reship of Smashdown. But that has started to turn up at online retail. So everything Earthrise is available in some capacity in the U.S. as of today.
Yeah. So
I want that star.
I'm gonna go hunting for toys. Probably tomorrow and this weekend. So looking forward to that. Yeah, it'll be. God, I've been going to Target every weekend, several Targets in my tour to Target, and it's gonna continue. But it wasn't Transformers. It was Garbage Pail Kids, and
it's always something.
Yeah. Okay. We have that. I felt like this was last week, but it's not. I guess it was last week, but it wasn't this. It was not the show that we did. Earthrise Commander Class Skylynx and Titan Class Scorponok and new Battlemasters photos hit the internet. What was the source of these again?
4chan.
Oh, well.
I cannot verify a source prior to that, so.
But gosh, that Skylynx looks amazing.
Yeah, Skylynx looks pretty good.
That Skylynx does look really, really good. I'm a little concerned with that launch pad mode.
Yeah. I don't need launch pad mode.
I didn't need that. Like, I'd have just been fine with the two animal modes. I hope that doesn't compromise it in some way.
Yeah, that should be like an undocumented, you know, like, hey, this could happen, but I hope they didn't like put a lot of muscle into that.
I would prefer if it could not happen, but it's just asking for trouble. But as long as we get the two good, you know, animal modes out of it, I'll be fine with it.
I think there's a strong possibility of the cat being in there.
I hope so. Scorponok, is there anything new there? The base mode, is that new?
I mean, all of it's new. We hadn't seen Scorponok's body before now.
Really? I was sure that we had.
We'd seen was Eric.
It looks like a Scorponok.
It does.
Yeah, it looks pretty fantastic.
It looks exactly like I expected it to look. I guess that may be the reason why I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the base mode is a write-off, but what else is new?
I mean, it always has been.
Yeah, that's every city former. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm excited about that. Let's see here. What else? The Battlemasters.
More ramps.
Two more planks.
Yeah. Okay, so an interesting thing I saw pointed out was the one with the more yellow on it looks like it's made to be a four-way intersection.
Ah, you are right. Yeah, it's me.
Where am I going to put all these?
the other one, the plank surface, whatever you want to call it, the road top, looks kind of like it might be a reuse of Sound Barriers, like the overall outline of it looks pretty much the same. The robot mode's considerably different. I'm just kind of concerned that, like, all we're seeing so far for the new mold ones is roads, ramps, planks, floorboards, whatever.
Yeah.
We had the retailer listing for one called Slitherfang, so I'm still hoping there's going to be, like, you know, new animal weapon type coming out that's just not pictured here, because this is representative samples of everything that's not the high price point, because as we go further down, we can see, you know, for Micromasters, we've got the Hot Rod Patrol there, and stand-in photos of the G1 Astro Patrol. That's right, isn't it? The Astro Patrol space shuttle ones.
That looks cool.
I'm bad at Micromasters.
Me too.
If you hadn't noticed. And then below that for the deluxes, there is just like an art asset of a Wheeljack, not even the right Wheeljack.
Oh, gosh, you're right.
The CAD model for Ironworks. So, you know, a lot of what's on here is just placeholder stand-in stuff that generally represents what the stuff is going to be. It's really just Skylynx and Scorponok that's you know, for real new things.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Unfortunately, I mean, we knew we would see Scorponok. We saw that, was it the supply chain leak about Skylink's?
That was one of the things from the Weibo store.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
that was the only thing we had that was arguably concrete.
Yeah. So it's a little disappointing that we saw it. Yeah. It's a little disappointing that we see it before Toy Fair, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty amazing though. That's exciting.
Yeah. I have the vague fear that like with the Combiner Wars year where Ultra Magnus was the one thing that we all kind of latched onto as really enjoying out of that. Like Skylink would have been that this year, but we've had it spoiled.
Okay.
Yeah. It would have been the big surprise thing that we all would have been really jazzed about to learn of day of, and now we can't.
Quick question before we move on. After Scorponok, what other Titan figures are there to do?
I hope they'll do Metroplex again. Make a nicer one.
We could use another pass on that.
Well, the other thing, too, John Warden was not on Transformers when the first Metroplex was made. So, like, you can totally assume he would want to have a chance to put his own spin on getting Metroplex done. And as many years as that's been and as expensive as that is to get on the secondary market, like, I think he would have enough motivation to push to try to get this done so that, you know, collectors who missed out the first time or who have come in on it sometime during the last 7 years can have a Metroplex for their collection.
And they could all, if they want to continue Combiners in some way, they could always shoehorn in the Combiners that they love.
See, I wanted to say Monstructor, but they'd never be able to do it with the Pretender shells. That would shoot up the price point way too high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause even if didn't we see that there was pre-tooling seemingly there in the Terracons to maybe get some kind of Monstructor out of?
Yeah, wasn't it Cutthroat was showed parts of Wildfly, I think it is?
Sounds right. So, like, even if they took those and put them in a Titan box set with Pretender Shells, like, it still would not budget out, I don't think. The Pretender Shells would just add too much more onto it to fit their pricing.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, what else? Okay. My Little Ponies Cross Transformers comic book crossover is happening.
Yeah. Only about 5 years too late.
Yeah.
Isn't Friendship is Magic? Isn't that over now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Season, the show finished up last year.
Well, Don, well, this is your chance. This is you. You're the expert. Why don't you tell us about My Little Pony?
I'm not an expert. I've watched the show and I enjoy it. It's a very well done show, but it's better done for its age group than a lot of other things I've seen for the compatible age group. It's apparently what we're seeing. The cover is for the trade paperback or the collected edition, and I believe Sarah. Oh, I don't know the artist's name. It's Sarah something with a hyphenated last name, and. Apparently she's doing some work on that, and it's a beginning in May for the miniseries and the cover that was the collected edition.
So the picture we're looking at right now is RC, and I don't know their name, so I'm going to call her Three Diamonds. So it's
Rarity.
RC and Three Diamond Pony. So Don, are you excited about Rarity, this? You want to see that crossover?
I mean, it'll be a very exciting. I mean, I'm not excited, but I think it'll definitely be worth picking up. I still want to pick up the Transformers Ghostbuster one. I haven't picked that up yet. But, I know that there's a lot of fans of both franchises out there. And, you know, My Little Pony did something in which it reached beyond the borders of its target audience and found a pretty big following. And probably, up as I said in pre-show, up until the new DuckTales reboot, this was a really good example on how to treat it. Heritage or classic property and make it more than just trying to sell toys to girls, you know, so that should be commended, whether or not you like the show or even care about it, how they were able to reach target audience.
So it's interesting though that this whole My Little Pony thing, at least among Transformers fans, six, seven years ago, like people were talking about My Little Pony a lot. Over and above, like, you know, just like general level of noise, but now I hardly ever see anybody talk about ponies anymore.
That's like why I say it's 5 years too late. Yeah. The fad is over with.
Yeah, like you're right. I guess this is for, I don't know who this is for.
Well, I mean,
what was it 2016 or 2017 when Hasbro let off Toy Fair with My Little Pony?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe last year or so, depending on when you saw it. So, I mean, the show's not been over.
Maybe we should move on from this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't hear a word you're saying, Don.
Yeah, Don. So, but yeah, so ponies. That's happening. So,
yeah.
Let's see here. Okay, we might as well get it out of the way. BotCon is probably happening again. So right now, okay, so quite a bit of stir happened around this. Somebody else do this. I don't want to like do the middle ground with this, okay, but also so I don't want to say anything that's like,
okay, so let's go from this way. Who do we know is running new BotCon? Like, who are the actual people organizing and behind it?
So Carl, right? Hartman, who was one of the original founders of BotCon, part of 3H, Brett Lovell, who is what's Brett's store?
I don't know.
Mega Toy Fan.
He's a good guy.
I think I've bought stuff from him.
He's a good guy, like Brett. Let's see who else. Don, it's a lot of people from TFYLP, right?
Yeah. Brett was a part of TFYLP. And then of course, Carl, as you said, I haven't seen a list of names since this news started as far as other people involved. So I'm not sure beyond that.
This is one of those things that I had honestly hoped that this whole BotCon controversy was behind us. All this stuff that happened, if this was such a headache for the fandom, for us, you know, 4 years ago, and BotCon ending was bittersweet. It's like, oh, we'll miss BotCon, but it's good that it's gone. In a lot of ways, we felt that, hey, we miss BotCon. Maybe we could put up with some of the things that people might do or say. But now that this is back in front of us, no, we really can't.
Yeah, but it's not the same if it's not an official convention. So until
it's better, it's better.
I was about to say,
yes.
The fact that it's not an official convention means that if you have taken issue with some of the things that some of the people involved have said or done, there is absolutely no reason you need to bother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. What I wanted to be clear on here, which is why I was trying to get into who was actually organizing it, I don't think any of us here have any kind of problems with the people who are actually in charge of the show.
No.
And Pete's only involvement, as far as I can understand from the outside of this, is some kind of support relationship with his own business.
He has his own business. He produces like material to promote BC Productions as part of a partnership, as part of the licensing agreement. And, you know, when it comes down to it, like, you know, I've had no issues with Pete. I spoke to him briefly at TFCon. You know, we've had friendly relations, but, you know, like, also I don't want to support, you know, certain opinions.
Right.
I mean,
that's where a lot of people are at with this right now. You know, obviously some specific individuals may have different past relationships with Pete and different outlooks on, you know, how those things have gone down in the past. But for a lot of people, it is a case of he's connected to the business side of this, and it's making people, let's say, hesitant to really embrace the return of BotCon, even as just a fan-run convention.
It seems to have been revealed, incidentally, on another podcast recently that, yes, Pete is a stakeholder in BC Productions, but he is a minority shareholder. So he's not basically, as far as I can tell, in charge of anything, but he is part of this company in addition to supporting them with his own company, Night Shining.
What I heard is that basically he's his role in this is basically running whatever the store is going to be for this BotCon, and possibly like administrative contributions.
It's kind of funny in a way, because I had considered going to Pete's robot convention. I'd heard that it's good, but like, it's not wrong. But like, all this controversy on we haven't even got to the AllSpark thing, but all this controversy has spun up like all these feelings and emotions. I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't if I'm, you know, if, you know, in a capitalistic, you know, society, if I'm going to vote with my dollar, I probably should vote with my dollar. So
I just don't understand. Why do we need an unofficial convention? I already have a good unofficial convention.
The best unofficial convention ever is BotCon and Shardacon and TFCon. TFCon doesn't go away.
TFCon's great. I love TFCon. I will support TFCon. I would not support BotCon unless it was an official convention.
I'm not going to go.
Well, okay. Well, the thing of it is, Diecast, there's room now since HasCon is probably not an entity at this point with any substance.
Before we tackle that nut, let's just unwrap this whole other thing and get that out of the way, the whole controversy part, because that's what people care about. So PETA said things in the past that people rightfully take issue with, and people have decided, lots of people have decided, they're not going to have anything to do with BotCon as long as, you know, Pete's involved. Had, you know, FunPub been involved and Brian Savage had been involved, people would have said the same thing because Brian did some insensitive things in public. So, with that being said, there is, AllSpark has officially partnered with BotCon. People, moderators at the AllSpark, expressed their issues with, you know, this partnership, and a disagreement was made. Or disagreement was had between the leadership at the AllSpark and a good chunk of moderators at the AllSpark. I think most of them left. So
at least five who've been there since at least 2015 is my understanding.
Yeah. So there's just a whole lot of stuff circulating around BotCon, and just a lot of people are not interested in participating as long as these things are, you know, being done and said. Like I said, I had considered going to Pete's Robot Convention, and because I, you know, wanted to leave most of that stuff in the past, but it is what it is. And realistically, if you want to vote with your dollar, that's the way to do it. You just opt out. Now, yeah, the virtues of actually, go ahead.
At this point, the most important thing to remember is if you don't like any of what has gone down and there's reasons not to, nobody involved is officially representing Hasbro or the Transformers brand at this point. Yeah. So, you know, that
is there a possibility that's going to change?
Who knows?
I don't foresee that.
I don't. Yeah.
You know, of course, when John and Carl started BotCon many a moon ago, they probably didn't expect to have the level of involvement with Hasbro that ultimately BotCon came to have. So anything's possible as the future rolls on, but I wouldn't expect
I'm just because of the timing right around Toy Fair, I was like, when we got the, you know, this site is under construction, check back later, when I was starting to think maybe there was going to be a connection, like if Hasbro wasn't going to do HasCon, maybe they were considering having an official Transformers convention again.
It is not impossible.
It's not impossible.
And there's, I think if Hasbro, you know, lends its support to this with everything that's gone on, there's probably another conversation to be had there. But at the moment, I think, you know, pretty much everything that can be said or done about any of it has been. And again, you know, since it's at the moment not official, it's not something you need to worry about if you don't want to go. There are other conventions, quite good ones, and it is hard to be, you know, it is hard to be gentle and circumspect about some of this, but
I'm trying my best. I'm sitting here silently. Yes.
I honestly mostly just smart feel man, bad Matt. For Carl and the other guys for, you know, day one with their, what should have been really delightful, joyous announcement of bringing BotCon back, having to deal with the fallout of some of the other components here.
Again, the thing though with Pete, remember, Pete's like, I've seen people say, well, he was from FunPub. Well, he was originally part of 3H. He wasn't one of the H's, but he's been involved at least since, you know, like what, BotCon 01. So he has been involved from very early on in BotCon. So it's not like
I mean, that's why he was in with FunPub when they took over.
Yeah, he was he was an integral part, especially later on. Pete was an integral part. And it's unfortunate that, you know, Pete did a lot of great things for BotCon and for Transformers. But you also have, on the other hand, you know, it, you know, things are what they are. So, okay, now that we sort of tried to dance around that and address that as much as possible, we don't, hopefully we'll have to talk about it again. Who knows? We might have
fingers
to.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, so
I am curious where they're going to actually run the show, though.
Yeah,
like what
yeah.
their first venue is going to end up being.
I mean, I would Fort Wayne would be.
Fort Wayne's kind of a joke at this point in terms of like, where's BotCon going to be this year? Oh, probably Fort Wayne. But yeah, I could totally see that being the case.
I hear a lot of people saying California.
I hope not. I don't think so, because since it's not an official convention, they got to think in terms of, you know, dollars and cents, which is why
it's affordable to run.
Which is why the early those BotCons were in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
So I don't know where Carl lives now. Hopefully, if he still lives in Fort Wayne, it would make sense, or in that general area. But I mean, Fort Wayne is a guess.
Although I could also see it being like around Louisville somewhere again.
Yeah, that's where Pete's convention is. Yeah, it's where Pete's convention is this year. But yeah, okay. So
he probably has connections he can draw on in that area too, and in the role he's playing, that's probably, you know, part of his responsibilities.
So, yeah, but does it make sense to have BotCon now that it's not an official convention?
I mean, alternatives are always good, I guess.
I mean, if it was like the early BotCon, my problem with TFCon is it's not BotCon. The people that would go to BotCon aren't there.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm thinking too. Like, you know, it'd be like probably more of a thing than Shardacon was, but hopefully it would still be kind of in that, more in that spirit than in the spirit of something bigger like TFCon that has like a kind of different direction about it. Like, if you're looking for a certain kind of feel of convention, then yeah, there's definitely room for BotCon again, run by these people.
I can't see BotCon in my mind. I can't see BotCon being as good as TFCon as an unofficial convention. Like, TFCon has nailed the unofficial Transformers convention.
One flavor of it.
I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope that this would be a good convention, but because we need more of them. We need more good Transformers conventions.
I like TFCon's great. And when TFCon's great.
I miss Shardacon.
I miss Shardacon too. But like, when I did that, you know, BotCon's the best, Shardacon, TFCon. That's not fair, because they do different things. BotCon was much more, the old BotCons were much more intimate.
Between us here, we can't agree which one is better.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
I mean, it's personal preference. Diecast and I are always going to be, you know, diehard TFCon, because we didn't go to early BotCons. So
I think what new BotCon can really do to try to like cement where it's going to be in the overall scope of unofficial Transformers conventions is that the first event they have to announce when they, you know, say where their venue is going to be, what the dates are, etc. They have to announce Friday night pizza party.
Hey, real quick. I just want to say I'm super proud of our chat. tfradio.net/live. Actually, they're watching on YouTube. You should subscribe. Because we've been going through all this, and there's been no arguing.
Yeah.
It's like Twitter, everywhere else, has been like total, you know, horrible about all this. But our chat's kept it civil. You guys are awesome.
Again, I will reiterate that my favorite thing about Twitter is the ability to sculpt the conversation and who you can see and who you can't see. My Twitter has been pretty consistent about this. I'm not going to say maybe 100% civil, but there I haven't seen much in the way of an argument.
Mine's been consistent in the sense of viewpoint, but it's not been, it's been tumultuous.
Expressed the same way?
Yeah, a lot of people are not expressing this gently, and I understand that, and I don't blame them. It's like I said, I'm working really hard at this at the moment, so... Yeah.
Well,
it's a
like,
good thing I'm tired. It's easier that way.
I think it's also easy for me to stay as quiet as I've been about this because, like, 99%, this is not going to be an official function. And if I don't want to go to this at any point, I don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's very avoidable for me if that's the direction I want to take with it.
But
yeah, like I said, if this becomes an official convention at some point, it becomes a very different conversation.
That's an incredibly valid point that you guys have. So, Okay.
And it's all, it will also be like $500 to get in again, which I have no interest in.
I hope not.
If it's not official, it will not. Yeah. That was a fun pub thing. It was super cheap.
Yeah, and that, we were talking about if it becomes official.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I have well, that was no still desire to pay those prices ever again.
Yeah.
That was
if it becomes official and they are offering, you know, at the door 10 toys all at once.
Yeah, so like, okay, so BotCon early on, first couple years, like, they, Hasbro would license them stuff. But like, as far as the official convention goes, I don't know that. Don, you know, like, as far as like being branded the official convention, you remember like, what was that like, what, 98, 99, around that area?
Yeah, somewhere, yeah, around that area, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, so BotCon 01, like, it's what, like $150, $200 to get the exclusives? And that was like the last official BotCon until 2005. So, well, yeah, the Heartless are doing it, it's not.
The last BotCon was 2004 Pasadena, and because that was when that's right after the split with 3H, and Glenn was running it in Chicago. So the last BotCon, as BotCon was 2004.
Yeah, but that wasn't officially licensed.
But the last official one would have been 2002, because OTFCC was 03 and 04.
Right? Oh, you're right. I didn't go to 02. That's why, yeah, 02. So, but yeah, this what it's two exclusives and maybe a souvenir. I don't remember. BotCon was cheap to go to, even with the exclusives. So, prior to FunPub. So, like, the economics changed when FunPub got involved. That's why you're dropping $500 to $1,000.
Well, and also FunPub was doing G.I. Joe, and with G.I. Joe, the sets made more sense.
It was their business. Yeah, BotCon was not 3H's business. Technically, it was 3H's business, but not the H's of 3H.
Yeah. But, FunPub just used the G.I. Joe model because that's how they knew it would. That's what they knew, and that's how they were able to just adapt it, for better or worse, for Transformers. That's when you get the jump in the price and the number of figures you're getting in one set. So, that's why that happened.
But yes, to the point, BotCon was quite a bit cheaper in the pre-FunPub days.
Yeah, FunPub just blew that
quite
up
a bit.
As substantially.
Yeah.
Like a quarter.
I mean, yeah, but you also didn't. One thing about FunPub is you kind of had an idea to a degree of what you might be getting, or at least a figure or two or something like that. Going into BotCon, it was basically at that point, again, that was pre-internet, or very early in the internet life. And you had no, all they would say is it's a Voyager and it's a Scout or a Basic or whatever the case may be. You could sort of guess from the previous year's molds what it might be mold-wise, but you would have no idea. Oh, this is Cyclonus from Beast Machine.
I think there's an Ultra at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
So it'll be interesting how it pans out.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, gosh, that could have. I worried that was going
to. That went a lot better than I thought it was going to be honest.
Yeah. Yes. Me too. I've been worrying about this all week.
I was hoping you just weren't really going to talk about it.
Well, I don't want
to. Yeah, that was my hope as well.
We got to talk about it, but I'm glad we handled it like we did.
The results, surprisingly enough.
At this point, three new Earthrise commercials rolling out. Check those out at T-Formers. I haven't watched them yet.
They're okay.
Yeah,
very short, but they're okay.
They are what they are. They're not like the old Takara commercials.
At least some of them have John Bailey's Optimus Prime voice.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations, John.
I don't know. Like, it's not 100% confirmed, but if you listen to it and you know what his Optimus Prime sounds like, it's John Bailey.
We have Hot Rod from the next wave of deluxes from Cyberverse.
That really needed a second plastic color.
Yeah.
Really, really, really needed a second plastic color. I mean, okay, it's got some gray, I think, in there. Like, the hands are gray. I don't think it's painted.
It needs some yellow or something.
Yeah.
Or orange. It needs orange for the thighs instead of just having those half-ass paint apps on the lower half of the thighs. Mm-hmm. It needs a little contrast that's not paint. It's very, very one note, and it makes it look a lot cheaper than it actually is. It looks almost... I want I feel bad saying it, but it looks like a shampoo bottle figure.
That is exactly what I was going to say. From a distance, I might think it was one slab of plastic.
Yes. And well, you know, it probably started out as that until they ground that one slab of plastic down and filled all the molds with it.
Yeah. But it's okay. We'll see. I will have to buy it.
I don't know if I would say it's okay.
Well, I'm going to have to buy it to get the deal done.
Oh, yeah. The mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And last, I guess, news district item, a master, let's see here, Fans Hobby MB15 base mode prototype for a super mode Armada Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I want to say we saw something of Fans Hobby Armada Optimus, and the purpose of this seems to be basically, like, this literally is a prototype. It's not a test shot. They are doing, like, exploratory stuff here to figure out how the trailer layout is going to work for their production toy.
Yeah, but that's cool. I know a lot of people have been waiting for that Armada Optimus from Takara, I guess. You know, they may be...
That got disappeared, vanished.
Maybe this weekend, because Wonderfest. But no, this is one of the things of toy design I like seeing, because, you know, to actually get to see prototypes that somebody's cut out of resin pieces and, you know, sculpted by hand and put together to figure out how something later on is going to work in mass production. That's one of the more interesting components of this for me. So I kind of like little inside looks like this, even if it's on a third party thing.
Cool. Okay. Let's see here. One of those. Hey, tfradio.net/Amazon, buy stuff. Tax time's coming up, but we got to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Hey, I just bought Scare Glow on Amazon.
Can't we just move to Guam?
Move to Guam? Why'd you move to Guam?
Taxes.
Can we become a church?
Ooh, I haven't thought about that, honestly.
Church of Primus. Church of Primus.
Unicron. I think we're more of a Unicron cult.
Correct.
Well, Diecast is definitely a Unicron worshiper.
Well, if we go Unicron, we can use Massey as an acolyte.
Yeah, there you go.
I always pick Autobots over Decepticons, but technically Unicron's not either.
Either one.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
So would Massey not be Unicron's herald?
Like, yeah.
No, because his name's not Herald. It's Massey.
Yeah. Hey, but if you need to buy anything, toilet paper, bubble gum, dog food. So I have been incredibly lazy as of late because McDonald's is closer than Walmart. So instead of driving all the way to Walmart and fighting through all of the hell, I'll just go to McDonald's and buy 4 double cheeseburgers. And that's what the dogs will eat for like dinner.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, I know. Right. So like the difference that I pay.
Brian, I think that's literally animal abuse.
They love it. The difference. I love those double cheeseburgers, but you know, but like the difference I pay. You know, Amazon's cheap for most things. One thing that's not the cheapest is like 50-pound bags of dog food. I have bought it before. But the difference I pay when you factor in the cheeseburgers that I'm buying for the dogs, it might be worth it for me just to subscribe and save for
dog food. Yeah, maybe so. Probably better for your dogs.
From tfradio.net/Amazon.
Now, if you're getting real hamburger meat from the store and cooking it's real beef. You know, even with bread attached to it and throwing that out for your dogs, that'd be one thing because that's like that'd be better quality food. But no, not McDonald's, man.
Today the dogs got they got double cheeseburgers and chicken McGriddles.
No, yeah. I mean to be fair, I would love a double cheeseburger right now. I'm not gonna lie.
Me too.
Maybe not a McDonald's one.
I like the McGriddles.
Jack in the Box has a really good cheeseburger.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Okay, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, first up, we've got an article by Chris on figuring out the approximate size of Titan-class Scorponok.
Sort of,
yes, but it's a good article with some nice examples that give us, if nothing else, a really good idea of the size of Zarek.
It's perhaps not my best performance with like creating visuals, but there's very little to work with at this point.
Yeah, and considering what there is to work with, it is some good information.
I never knew how wide a Titan Master was until I was doing the research for that.
Yeah,
14 millimeters. If anybody's wondering, or just read the article.
Yeah, read the article.
Read the article. It's good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also, There is a PCS Collectibles Optimus Prime G1 Museum scale statue, 28 inches tall. It's a cel-shaded Optimus Prime statue. Looks pretty good. Might be a little too bulky. Windows look too small, but cel-shading effect is very nice. No, because there's no annoying frames around the windows. I don't think I ever mentioned that a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the G1 Optimus Prime kit that Flame Toys is putting out. But isn't it so nice to have an anime-styled Optimus Prime without those obnoxious, ugly frames around the windows for a change?
Okay, so I'm looking at this statue now, and, the windows are the correct size. Like, if you take them in proportion to the head, literally everything else is too big.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's up with that, but it's the thing.
Hey, real quick. Don, in our chat, or internal chat, just shared. If you go to tfradio.net/Amazon right now, yes, even if it's 5 years from now, right now, tfradio.net/Amazon, Six Gun, the weaponizer, is $10.
It is a great toy for that price.
If you don't have it, or you just want to collect weaponizers, $10. tfradio.net/Amazon.
It's been going down to about $10 on and off for the last week or so. It tends to sell out pretty quick at that price, but it keeps coming back.
Definitely worth that if you don't have it, or if you collect them, it's definitely worth it. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
It's okay. Our last thing up is Hasbro Pulse has once again delayed a couple of the C-Con. C-Wing and Nautilator are delayed. I missed until when, but...
I think they're only delayed till about 2 weeks after Wave 1, yes. So it's not a proportionate delay, so we're not waiting... We're probably not waiting 6 months to finish the whole thing like we thought originally.
It's, like the first week of April.
April 6th. Whereas first wave comes out March 23rd. So,
about 2 weeks.
I just have the feeling you're going to end up getting like all of them between March and April. But that's
too close for me. Which is kind of awesome.
Also kind of terrifyingly expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you ordered multiples like I did.
At least I don't have to worry about this with Unicron. I mean, whenever it ships, it's already paid for. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Cool. Anything else, Rob?
No, that's it.
Okay, cool. I want to thank quickly, or not so quickly, our patrons at the Touched tier. You guys are awesome. And not only are our patrons at the Touch tier immortalized each week on the podcast, you can also find them at tfradio.net/credits. First, I want to thank Brian Cooper, who signed up as a patron at the Touch tier during the show. I originally missed that at the beginning of the show, Brian. I apologize. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon and helping make Radio Free Cybertron happen. You are awesome, as are all of our patrons at the Touch tier, all of our patrons in general, but we do thank the Touch tier at tfradio.net/credits and on the show each week. Thanks to Kevin Dorsey, Sean Bratton, hope I'll get it right this time, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Hamilton, Meat Pac-Man, Jason W. Rye, Mike Mallory, Jason Hiley, Jonathan James, Matthew Deadman, and Hector Bones. I love that name. And Hector Bones won our first RFC Lucky Draw, which is something I'm doing on Patreon, which is a giveaway that we're doing each month randomly to a patron, any patron level. Typically, it's going to be stuff Hasbro sends, Transformers merchandise or memorabilia, maybe a podcast relic. He actually received a nice microphone that I signed, as well as, let's see here, like a Transformers bracelet, a paddle ball from Transformers Animated. And a couple other things, but yeah, the microphone was a nice microphone.
Is that Play-Doh?
Play-Doh from Hascon. Yes. It's still soft. You can shake it and feel it. Yeah. So that was a giveaway from Hascon. So, one thing I'm giving away, and I don't know which two interesting things I'm giving away. One, I am giving away that remote control Optimus Prime that, was mentioned. I think I'm going to do that for March, was sent to me, but, and I actually looked for a value on this to see, how I should, sell it, because things like this don't pop up often. It's actually, it's a relic, at the it's a press kit USB drive that Hasbro gave at the Orlando event for Universal Studios. So,
oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so I'm going to include that in an upcoming lucky draw. That's a pretty cool item. So it's going to be just interesting things from the archives, the podcast archives, stuff that Hasbro sends. Maybe, honestly, if I get a duplicate by mistake, like some bots that may go out soon. Yeah, it'll, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. So patreon.com/TF Radio. Thank you guys out there for being a patron. You're awesome. And thanks to patrons at all levels. You guys rock. Let's see here. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Please join us in our chat each week. Our chat's awesome. They've hung out with us tonight and we've run long and it's on a,
and we're on an odd night.
And we're on an odd night and that's sort of thrown us off, thrown them off. But people have made it, and that's on YouTube at, Radio Free Cybertron. Just look for Radio Free Cybertron on YouTube and you will find us. We're also on Instagram at TF Podcast. You can find us on Roku, Fire TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, basically everywhere. Just look for Radio Free Cybertron and you will find us. I am personally on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Guys, please go ahead and whoever wants to go in whatever order. I'm about to cough. I am sick. I'm gonna mute myself now.
Well, hurry up and do it then. So you can find me personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXV as Brian dies over there. If you want to maybe like browse my Amazon wish list, which also helps to you know, helps the podcast out at tax time as we're getting close to that, and boy, that's scary. TFradio.net/Chris List. I have a wish list full of all kinds of stuff there. If you just, you know, feel like doing something nice or even not nice and you just want to, like, you know, send me something so I have more crap sitting around here, because that's just a burden, really. But you know, I love it.
It's the one hardest to bear. Don didn't say it.
Thank you. I'm not sure which one of you I'm thanking for that. Either you for saying that or Don for not. I can't really tell. So my photography work, you can find at playwithphotography.com. Galleries, articles about doing toy photography, toy blogging sometimes. On social media, you can follow on Twitter at playwithphotos or Instagram.com/playwithphotography. And if you like the work I do and want to show your support or help me do more of it, patreon.com/playwithphotos. Tiers starting at $2 going up to 10 or 15. I can forget right now, but you know, $5 and up, you get credit on galleries and maybe other benefits to be determined at a later date, because I'm bad at doing almost everything.
Nah, that's not true.
In my head, it is.
Okay. Imposter syndrome.
It's a really bad place to live.
Cool.
I understand this.
Anything else, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, the school systems up there are terrible.
You didn't go to school.
Property values just plummet all the time.
You were homeschooled. I guess you did go to school, but
sort of. I learned things.
It's cool. Hey, I forgot Rob Springer, zonebase.org, at Robo Rob Springer. We actually had a new episode of Transform Squadron this week, so you can check that out at Radio Free Cybertron's website, tfradio.net. Rob.
Okay, Twitter, Figure Reviewers, and Rob Flails. Flailthers is my YouTube channel. I cover Gundam Battle Operation 2. It's a fun free-to-play Gundam shooter on the PlayStation 4. If you like the look of the game or you want to see me do specific mobile suit and weapon combinations or color schemes or whatever, patreon.com/flailthers. You can request it there. If you have any urge to send random people you hear on podcasts shiny things, tfradio.net/claylist. And of course, when Chris and I do video work, you can find that on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2, and you can also like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast. And see all my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews. Hopefully I'll have one of these Earthrise guys up this weekend, unless something goes terribly wrong like it normally does.
Yeah, I see you're working some iron over there.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. These are all the ramps it comes with. I'm not really sure what I'm doing.
I think you might be doing it wrong.
But, yeah. Yeah, he actually comes with four ramps, or four small sections of ramps total. Hmm. So, but you also have one leg attached. Well, the leg, that leg could come detached. And then you also have his crotch piece, which is pinned to one of the ramps.
Okay. So.
As happens in nature, I mean,
yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Don, you're
on? Muted.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for it to respond to my click. I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
John.
That John D everywhere.
Awesome. Okay. That's it. I'm going to go cough. I'll see you later.
Yeah, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, what are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?